Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hi there. My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You might be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special virtual event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I am so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. This week's episode is titled Student-Friendly Jamboard Activities for Any Classroom and comes from a blog post that went live a few weeks ago. In this episode, I'll take you through all of the tips and five favorite quick activities. I've linked the blog post so you can find it wherever you're listening to this episode. I definitely encourage you to check that out because it includes screenshot examples for each of the activities I talk about today, and it includes templates so you can make a copy of all five of the activities I share with you in this episode. Let's dive in. How do you use Jamboard? Well, I love this powerful tool from Google, and my Instagram feed has been full of tips and tricks throughout the past year. If you haven't used Jamboard before, or you are looking for a few quick ideas to try out, this blog post has you covered. We'll start off with a quick overview of Jamboard and jump into five ideas you can use with students when learning in a physical classroom or when learning in a virtual setting. This could also be something you pull into a synchronous, live, or asynchronous self-paced activity. So what exactly is Jamboard? Although Jamboard is a physical product from the folks at Google, like an actual board, in this blog post, we're looking at the web-based Jamboard experience that works on both a physical Jamboard as well as your Chrome browser. And I'll be honest with you, I've never used the physical Jamboard before, so I'm only talking about my experience from using the Chrome-based software. And for the purposes of this blog post that I'm linking to, and the episode that we're recording today, you can consider Jamboard as a digital space too. So this is a digital space where you, your students, and colleagues can gather and organize ideas either individually or collaboratively. Now, when you head to Jamboard's website, jamboard.google.com, you'll arrive at a space that looks like the screenshot that I put inside of the blog post. So it's basically a blank canvas. You'll have a dashboard where all of your jams will live, and then you've got a plus sign that you can make a new jam. So you can tap on that orange plus button at the bottom right-hand corner of the screen to create your new jam or your new space. A few pointers if you're totally new to Jamboard. You will need to sign in to get started with your Google account, but you can invite other people to join without making them sign in. Just like a Google Doc or Google Slide deck, you would just set up your sharing permissions to anyone with this link can view or edit. At the top of the screen, so when you're in your new jam that you've made, you can add multiple frames, which are kind of like slides or pages of a document. Then you'll see a toolbar on the left-hand side. You heard me there with my Long Island accent sneaking out. Toolbar, I'll say that again. And it includes options for highlighting and drawing, erasing, selecting, sticky notes, adding images, shapes, text boxes, and even a laser pointer. Now, Jamboard is the vehicle for our conversation for these student-friendly activities today, but if you are using a different interactive whiteboard, interactive collaborative space, you could definitely tailor these to your group of students. So let's jump into these five Jamboard activities together. And if you have been following along with my work this year, you might have known that I've been working with both educators and students remotely. So I've been working with a few students and with lots of educators. And Jamboard has been high on my list of most used tools. And you might have even heard me mention it in episode 87 of the Easy EdTech podcast. That one was titled, How to Increase Participation During Synchronous Instruction. Now, the five activities we'll take a look at today are great for getting students or your colleagues comfortable and acquainted with Jamboard. And you might even tailor the suggested prompts to high-interest topics, social-emotional learning goals, or academic activities. And I have included links to templates that I've made. So the examples I'm going to share with you, all five, I've set it up so that you can click on a link right from the blog post that I've put in the show notes, and you can actually make a template. So you don't even have to make something new. You can just use my templates with your students if you want to. So let's jump into the very first activity on the list, this or that. For this activity, you would open up Jamboard and create two categories where students can pick this or that. If you've ever done a would you rather, it's kind of like that. In the example I set up for us in the blog post, I set up two choices, winter or summer. And I added the two categories at the top of the screen, and I made two boxes right underneath the categories. That makes it a little bit easier for students to drag in or place their name in the right spot. Next to the names of the season, so next to where I put winter or summer, I even included images, and you can do a Google image search built right into Jamboard. So it makes it real easy to find an image and add it to your Jam space. Now, once you've created this, you would share the link with students in edit mode. So they're gonna have to get in there and edit it, right? Then when they're in there, they'll create a sticky note with their name and drag it to the season they've picked. So this is something where you could do everyone choose their own color sticky note, type in their name, and then they drag it into the right category. Now, I did two seasons, winter or summer. And for this or that activity, you could just choose two things that are different or opposites, and then kids can choose between the two. If you go to Pinterest and you type in would you rather or this or that activities for kids, you'll find lots of other examples. Winter or summer is one of my go-tos. So this or that is the first activity on the list. Number two is a favorite things activity. A favorite things activity is a lot of fun, and it's often one I use with educators when talking about engagement strategies and showing off Jamboard for the first time. Everyone loves to talk about things that they love and likes to share, so it ends up being an easy win for getting everyone working within a space. So students can add sticky notes or search for images, and you might do something like this example I shared in the blog post with what's your favorite book or what's your favorite movie, and then kids can either write it in on a sticky note or they can search for images and add that to the page. Now, you might leave this anonymous, so kids just adding to make this our favorite things type of creation, or you might ask students to place their like favorite book or favorite movie into a category based on the genre. So you can get real creative here with what this looks like with your group. So this or that and favorite things are the first two on our list. Number three is a scale. So a scale, not like to weigh something, but a scale like where do you fall on the scale. So set up a scale with two ends. So students can place their name or a check mark on where they fall on the scale. So you want to have two kind of opposing things. So this could be something you use at the start of a lesson for students to show off how they feel about something. So you might say, I feel very comfortable with this skill. I could teach a friend about it. Or the other side of the scale might be, I need a lot of help. If you want kids to be anonymous, they can use the pen tool and just do a little check, and then you'll see some of the trends for the group. So this will give you a general picture of how your group is doing on that day, and the prompt is totally up to you. Number four on our activity list is a mind map. Now, the first three ideas on the list are really collaborative activities for a small or large group of students or your colleagues. This one, Mind Map, is independent for students to work on their own. Students would sign in to their own Google account, then they would create their own Jam in Jamboard to organize their thinking around a topic. This option is great for when students want to conduct research or take notes on a topic. In the example I included for this podcast episode and the blog post I created on this, I did one all about sharks, and you can see I put a picture of a shark right in the middle, and then there's the spindles that go out, and it has different facts about sharks. So you can use this in lots of different ways. You'll want to make an example of this for your kids so that they can see what their end product will look like. Number 5 on our list is a picture or word sort. For a picture or word sort, you would set up the 2 categories, or more categories if you wanted to, and add images or sticky notes with the words at the bottom of the screen. This way, kids can sort the words or place the picture in the correct category. In the example that I created for you, this is a land animals and water animals. And so you could have students sort pictures or words into the 2 different spaces. This could absolutely be collaborative, but you might want to make a copy of the Jam for each student. So how does making a copy work? Well, you of course could do this for any time you make something where you want it to be a template. And this is the exact steps I did to give you those 5 templates to check out in today's episode. So to make a copy of a Jamboard, if you make a Jam template for your class, you might want to make a copy for each student. And so you would do this by creating your whole template, making it perfect. And then at the top of the screen, so where your normal Google Docs or Jamboard URL or web address would be, you're just going to take out where it says edit, so E-D-I-T, and replace it with copy, the word copy. This will make it so that it sets up a forced copy, and it will require students to sign into their Google account and have that copy pop up. So I made a copy, or this forced copy, for you of the 5 examples from today. So make sure to head over to classtechtips.com/podcast, where you'll find episode 95, this episode, and you can find all 5 of those templates right there on the show notes page. I've linked out to the blog post with visuals, so there's lots there for you as well. So let's finish up this episode like we always do by making this EdTech easy. First, open up Jamboard and create a new Jam. Next, try out the features in the toolbar. Then, set an intention and create a space for students. Finally, invite them in to try it out. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode with the templates and screenshots of all the examples by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 95. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. A review makes a big difference in helping other people find the podcast. So if you're listening, especially on Apple Podcasts today, just scroll down to the bottom of the podcast feed. You should see some other ratings and reviews. Tap on those 5 stars. Leave maybe a sentence review. It would be a huge help, and I would be so appreciative.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.